And while it's being collected, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn once more to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah in the Old Testament. If you're using the blue Bible in the pew rack in front of you, you will find it on page 654. Page 654. The title of the sermon this morning is Our Missionary God, as we wrap up our sermon series in this great little book. Now, we've gone through the book of Jonah week by week by week, and I came across a cartoon that I just had to share with you. It's a picture of Jonah about to be swallowed by the great fish. And in the cartoon caption, the great fish says, "Why me, Lord?" I got a chuckle out of that. I thought you might enjoy it as well. At the end of August, we started our study in the book of Jonah with a sermon based on chapter 1 titled, Running from God. We came to the conclusion that if God ever asks us to do anything, instead of trying to run from God like Jonah did, instead, our response will always be, yes, Lord, whatever, whenever, wherever, I'm yours. The sermon based on chapter 2 was titled, Crying Out to God. We especially focused on Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. When storms come our way, whether we deserve them or not, we can pray. We can always cry out to God when we are in the depths of the despair, and we can be confident that God will hear and he will respond to our prayer. Evangelism Explosion was the title of sermon number 3. In Jonah chapter 3, we read about an explosion of evangelism that took place with hundreds of thousands repenting in just a few days, possibly the greatest spiritual awakening in history. They heeded the warning of the prophet, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. They repented and God relented. And since none of us knows if we have only 40 more days, or perhaps 40 more years, or only 40 more minutes here on earth, I urged everyone to make sure they are saved. The key verse of the book of Jonah is likely the last part of Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, a verse that we need to cling to and take seriously that says salvation comes from the Lord. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the pouting prophet in Jonah chapter 4. There's no question that Jonah was a pig-headed, prejudiced, peeved, pouting prophet who had major anger management issues that often manifested itself in childish and immature behavior. But then we were told that when we hold up the book of Jonah, we are really holding up a mirror. And many of the faults and flaws that we see in Jonah can also be seen in us. Thankfully, our God is not only the God of the second chance, he is really the God of the 999th chance, always inviting us to start over and over and over with him when we blow it. Now that I've given you this quick review of some of the highlights of the material we've covered so far, there are two more things that I want to emphasize this morning before we conclude our sermon series on this great little book. The first one has to do with mercy. One of the very important things that the book of Jonah teaches us is that our God is a merciful God. That comes through loud and clear. Our God is a merciful God. even though the great city of Nineveh had become exceedingly wicked and deserved to be destroyed. God, who's described in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, as being gracious and compassionate, and that word can also be translated merciful. God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. And because he is that kind of God, he spared the Ninevites when they repented of their wicked ways. The Bible makes it very clear that God is a very merciful God indeed. Listen carefully to just a few verses. You might want to jot down some of these references and look them up later. Deuteronomy 4, verse 31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 31. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Psalm 25, verse 6. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. And Psalm 119, verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, once said, and I quote, God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water or deprive the sun of its light than diminish the great mercy of God. And this merciful God that we read about in the book of Jonah is also a missionary God. He is a missionary God. Starting way back in the book of Genesis and all the way through to the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that God is deeply concerned about all of the people on this planet. In Genesis chapter 12, when God made a covenant with Abraham, God said that he would bless the socks off of Abraham, and through Abraham, all peoples, literally all the families on earth, would be blessed through him. You see, God is concerned not only for the descendants of Abraham and the nation of Israel. God is concerned not only for the tribe of Judah, not only for Jonah and his buddies. No, God is concerned for everyone. God was so concerned for the Ninevites that he sent Jonah to warn them of impending judgment. That was coming. But he did so in the hopes that they would repent. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. Our God is a missionary God who sent his Son as a missionary to reconcile all peoples to himself. The Bible Knowledge Commentary puts it this way, and I quote, "The Lord's love for the souls of all people was supposed to be mediated through Israel, God's elect and covenant nation. Through Israel, the blessing of his compassion was to be preached to the nations. The book of Jonah was a reminder to Israel of her missionary purpose." End of quote. I want to tell you a little bit about Robert Jaffrey this morning. Robert Jaffrey was a missionary who served with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, our denomination. Robert Jaffrey was filled with a deep passion for taking the good news of Jesus Christ to places that had never even heard the name of Jesus before. Robert Jaffrey was born into a very affluent family in 1873 in Toronto. And his father was the owner of the Globe and Mail newspaper. And it was his father's hope that one day Robert would take over this newspaper empire. But when he was just 20 years old, Robert Jaffrey attended a series of meetings. And at one particular night, he heard A.B. Simpson preaching, the founder of our denomination. And Simpson's sermon so moved him that Robert Jaffrey gave his life, surrendered his life unreservedly to Christ. 2 years later, Robert felt that God was calling him to oversee service as a missionary to China. When his father heard about those plans, his father was furious. And he said to Robert he was not going to give him one dime towards this crazy missionary enterprise. But when his son finally came to his senses, his father would pay his ticket back home. That ticket was never purchased. And for the next 35 years, the Jaffreys lived in the south part of China, and God used them in incredible ways. Just one example would be the organizing and sending of 6 couples into Indochina, now known as Vietnam. As a result of that small initiative, those humble beginnings, there are now over 1.5 million believers in that part of the world. Now, one of the reasons I have shared a little bit about Robert Jaffrey this morning is because our denomination has launched a new initiative called the Jaffrey Offering. And they have suggested that a special offering be taken each October that would go to the Global Advance Fund so that we can continue sending out new missionaries to some of the least reached people groups of the world. Now, our local church already gives lots to the Global Advance Fund. We can always give more, absolutely. But the percentage comparisons between what is given to our general fund and what is given to the Global Advance Fund, that percentage comparison is significantly higher than most other Alliance churches in Canada. And so we are not going to collect a separate or special offering in the month of October for this Jaffrey offering. But I did want to alert you to what our denomination was doing. And if you would like to give more to the Global Advance Fund through our regular Sunday morning offerings, that would be a good thing indeed. But here's the main point that I believe God wants to impress upon our hearts this morning. And it is this. Since God is a merciful God and a missionary God, as we see demonstrated in the book of Jonah, it logically follows that we should strive with God's help to be merciful and missionary-minded ourselves. And here's a Bible passage that I think backs up that kind of logic, that kind of thinking. It is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Very interesting verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 encourages us to be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. And it goes on to say, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. I suppose another way to state this would be to simply say that with God's help, as followers of Jesus, it ought to be our aim to be more Christ-like in our character and more Christ-like in our conduct. As fully devoted followers of Jesus, we should be becoming more and more like Jesus each and every day. And so that means, among other things, being more merciful and being more missionary-minded in our outlook. So let me ask you some questions this morning. Is there someone in your life to whom you could or should extend mercy to? Instead of criticism, could they use some compassion? Instead of condemnation, do they need forgiveness? And how could you be more missionary-minded in your outlook? Is there a Nineveh that God has been nudging you towards, but you have a trip to Tarshish planned in your mind? Dr. Lloyd Ogilvy, in his commentary, put it this way: most of us have our own Nineveh and Tarshish. One is the city of faithfulness and obedience. The other is a place of escape. May I lovingly encourage you, please, do not run from God, especially if He is asking you to be a witness to someone else. And if you feel inadequate and unqualified and unprepared, I understand, I get that. And as a local church, we want to come alongside you and resource you and encourage you and equip you. If you've not already done so, sign up for that free subscription to Right Now Media. And once you've logged in and set up your own account, just click on Libraries, and then you will see an entire section devoted to evangelism, with great teaching from Chuck Swindoll and R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur and many, many others. Or Bill Hybels has written an excellent book that I could lend to you titled Just Walk Across the Room. Becoming more merciful and more missionary-minded might be that simple. With God's help, just walking across the room.